Post Hypnotic Press presents an unabridged recording of Jennings' Diary by Anthony Buckeridge, narrated by Simon Vance. Chapter 1. The Start of It All. The first evening of a new term is just a little different from all the other evenings which lie ahead. It is a restless, unsettled time, when ties with home have been broken and the links of another term are not yet forged. Jennings sat on his bed, twirling his socks round and round like contra-rotating propellers, and puzzling over this feeling of strangeness which was taking so long to wear off. He knew it was nothing to do with his surroundings, for Linbury Court School looked the same as it always had done. The dormitory seemed familiar enough, with its rows of beds and lockers and chairs. There was the well-remembered damp patch on the ceiling caused by the overflowing of a wash-basin in the room above. Below this was the mark on the wall where a badly aimed sponge bag had overshot the target area. All these were unchanged. What then was wrong? Perhaps it was his friends who were different. After all, it was a whole month since he had seen them. He gazed about him, seeking a clue to the mystery. All round the dormitory, boys were preparing for bed, struggling with knotted shoelaces or straining sweaters into shapeless woolen tunnels as they tugged them over their heads. Yet no one appeared to have changed very much, Jennings thought. Apart, of course, from the minor alterations which were only to be expected on the first day of term. Venables, for instance, was still suffering from a recent drastic haircut which caused him to massage the bristly nape of his neck every few seconds. And Derbyshire was wearing a new school uniform, specially chosen to allow him plenty of room to grow in all directions. No doubt the time would come when it would fit him well enough, but at the moment his slight figure appeared to be shrouded in a loosely woven cocoon of grey material. The sleeves, reaching almost to his knuckles, had caused him trouble all through tea time by sliding down onto his plate and becoming mixed up with his bread and butter. Jennings stopped twirling his socks and called, "Hey, Derbyshire, are you feeling all right?" It was the first time he'd spoken to his friend since they had parted company at the end of the previous term. But theirs was an easy-going friendship which bridged the gap of absence without effort and started off again quite naturally from where it had left off.
"Yes, I think so," Derbyshire replied, slipping off his jacket. "At any rate, I'm feeling a lot better now I've found my way out of this new clobber. Why, don't I look all right?"
"Oh, yes. I just wondered whether you were feeling like me, sort of weird, if you know what I mean."
"It must have been those baked beans we had for tea," said Derbyshire. "You want to be careful with baked beans. They need watching. I found one up my sleeve when I took my jacket off just now."
He stared earnestly at his friend through dusty spectacles.
"You lie down quietly if you're feeling rough. I'll go and fetch Matron. She'll soon put you right."
Jennings clicked his teeth in mild exasperation.
"Don't be such a clodpole, Derby. I'm not ill." "You said you were." "No, I didn't. I meant there was a peculiar sort of something in the air. I wondered whether you'd noticed it."
Derbyshire removed his glasses and peered round the room. The atmosphere looked all right to him.
"We could open the window if you like," he suggested helpfully. "It's not that. It's a sort of feeling I've got, rather as though I've been here before."
"Well, so you have. Every night, for the last four terms."
"If you want to know what I think, Jennings, I'd say you were suffering from a really chronic attack of beginning of termitis."
"Huh?"
"Oh, it's nothing serious. It's just that you haven't switched over properly from holidays to term time."
The specialist frowned thoughtfully at his patient.
"You'll feel less weird tomorrow when you've got over the ghastly shock, and after that you'll settle down to a calm and peaceful term with everything running smoothly."
A rash prophecy, if ever there was one. Jennings' feeling of strangeness passed quickly enough, but it is doubtful whether calm and peaceful was a fair description of the storm-tossed breakers ahead in the troubled waters of the Easter term. Pleased with this ready solution of his friend's problem, Derbyshire returned to his bed, rolled up his new uniform into a tight ball and squeezed it into his clothes locker. Jennings, meanwhile, was unpacking the small suitcase which contained the things he would need for the first night of term. He laid his pyjamas on his bed and placed his still damp flannel and soap neatly on the top, while he rummaged through the remaining contents of his case. At once, a look of concern clouded his wide-awake eyes.
His collection of cheese labels was there safely enough, so were his matchbox tops and propelling pencil. But where was his diary? Surely he hadn't left it at home. Worried now, he tipped the case upside down over his bed and searched through the collection of bedroom slippers, hairbrushes, and the stack of a dozen handkerchiefs which his mother had felt sure he would need before his trunk was unpacked the following day. Still no diary. This was serious, for it had been a Christmas present from his Aunt Angela, and so far he had kept his New Year's resolution of recording an entry every day. Perhaps it was in his jacket pocket. No, it wasn't there either. Then where on earth? A loud crow of gleeful triumph came from beyond the wash basins at the other end of the room.
Yippee, I've found something.
And there was Venables, waving a small red book round his head like a tomahawk.
Hey, Venables, that's my diary,
Jennings called down the room.
I've been looking for it everywhere. Where did you find it?
Where did you lose it?
Countered Venables, a tall, thin boy of 12.
You'll have to prove it's yours if you want it back. Otherwise it's finders keepers.
It must have dropped out of my pocket. It's mine, all right. My Aunt Angela gave it to me. Give it back, please.
Jennings advanced to the wash basins with hand outstretched. He seemed so anxious for the safe return of his property that Venables noticed his concern and determined to make the most of his advantage.
He doesn't say anything about anybody's Aunt Angela here, he said, thumbing through the pages. How do I know it's really yours? I shall have to hang on to it while I investigate the matter.
Of course it's mine, you ancient ruin, persisted Jennings. It's got my name inside. You can read, can't you?
Venables paused at a page marked Personal Memoranda.
It says here, he began, that this diary belongs to a character called J.C.T. Jennings. Age last birthday, 11. Size in shoes, 4. Size in collars, 13. Insurance policy number, blank. Business address,
Jennings made a grab at the book. But Venables whisked it out of reach and held it over a wash basin full of water.
Don't snatch, he said. I might drop it in by accident if you do, and then it won't be worth having back anyway. I haven't finished my investigations yet.
He turned a page and read aloud.
January 1st. Got up. Had breakfast. Did some things. Weather quite hot, toddy. January 2nd. Got up. Went out. Came back. Did some more things. Weather not so hot, toddy.
Hey, you can't read that. It's private, Jennings protested.
Venables grinned.
Sounds as though you had a really exciting holiday. Fancy going out and coming back all in one day. I don't quite follow this hot toddy business, though. Is it something to drink?
No, you clodpole, you can't read straight.
It's not hot toddy, it's hot today.
Aunt Angela told me to make notes about the weather. She's going to give me £5 if I write something every day and never miss one. Again, Venables glanced at the book in his hand and then hooted in derisive glee.
Hey, gather round, you lot! Special news bulletin from Jennings' famous diary!
Temple, Atkinson and Bromwich postponed their washing operations until a more convenient time and came crowding round to see what all the excitement was about.
Don't be foul, Venables. Give it back, Jennings protested. You've no right to look at a bloke's private diary, let alone broadcast it all over the school.
He thrust out his hand to grab the book and then withdrew it again quickly as Venables made a further move towards the wash basins.
Listen to this, you lot, Venables quoted. January 5th. Listened for cuckoo but did not hear it.
The audience rocked with mirth and tapped their foreheads pityingly at the diarist's quaint zoological observations.
He should have listened to himself, said Temple. He's as cuckoo as a coot, if you ask me.
Well, I did listen, Jennings defended himself. I knew I shouldn't hear it, but Aunt Angela's ever so keen on nature and stuff, and I was trying to please her.
But no one was listening to his explanation, for already Venables was reading the extract for January 7th. The announcement,
Winter net, hissed muss,
was received with puzzled expressions.
Went where?
Queried Atkinson.
Net hissed muss, replied Venables. That's what it says here anyway. Perhaps it's in code.
Of course it isn't, said Jennings.
It means Natural History Museum.
Aunt Angela took me there after Christmas. I told you she was keen on nature and things, even when they're stuffed.
Went to Nat Hist Mus soon after Christmas, recited Bromwich. Hey, you lot, did you hear that? I've just made up a poem by accident. I said, all right, we heard, and a really feeble effort too.
Venables turned to the pert with a snort of disapproval,
and so failed to notice Jennings stealthily removing the plug from the washbasin. As the last drops of water trickled out, Jennings hurled himself upon Venables in a neck-high...